Welcome back to the Legal Digest podcast with your host, Natalie. Today, I'm really excited to be joined again by Kat Moss. She came on in the podcast in season one to talk about why she left the law, her modelling career, and her reasons for becoming a cabin crew member. So today, we're going to catch up with her on that, plus her life after the law.
Hi, Kat. How are you?
Hi, Natalie. I'm very, very well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's so good to have you back on the show. It's a pleasure. When we spoke last September, we talked about the reasons behind you leaving the law, and that's kind of what I wanted to pick up on again and see how things are now that you started your new career as the cabin crew member, but also talk a bit about your side hobbies, and also more importantly, are you still fire eating?
I still eat fire. It always makes me laugh when I tell people that, because they're like, what, you eat fire? And I'm like, yeah, I know it's random, I don't do anything that's not random, basically. But yeah, still, so when we spoke last, I had my first long haul, which I think was a trip to Delhi. I don't in on it yet. I think that was coming up, or I've just had it. So for me, at that stage where I was at, it was very much a case of, okay, I've left the law, that door is essentially closed for now, and I've now gone and entered into, done all my training and all the recruitment process, but there was still this uncertainty of, I'm not quite into the swing of cabin crew because I haven't had, you know, all the trips, and I haven't got into the, I didn't know how much time I'd get off, et cetera, et cetera. So the last, what's that, five months ago now, it's gone so much better than I ever could have hoped for. It is something that I have such a passion for. I love travel. I've met so many incredible people. I've had so many belly laughs. I've already, in these 5-6 months that I've been flying, whatever it's been, I've had such amazing opportunities and memories. I've gone to the World Cup and I took my other half in Doha. That was insane. I've gone to over 25 different destinations. I've been on the beach in Miami. I've been riding on a rickshaw through India. I've been seeing my best mate out in Joburg. I've been meeting up with friends in Switzerland. And it's a world that if somebody said to me a year ago or a year and a half ago, when I was not enjoying my job, I would have been like, that is ultimate success, like that joy and that happiness. And it's so lovely to feel like now I've found it. I've gone out and I've searched for it and I took the plunge and I've found it. I could have gone and I could have hated it, but the fact that it's not only going well, but I'm absolutely loving it, is a lovely mental, a place to be mentally as well, because I just feel so much more relaxed and happy, to be honest. My ultimate goal.
It sounds like a really packed 5 months as well, but if you have found happiness in your new job, then that's the ultimate goal, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're passionate about it as well. And everybody, when they hire employees, all they want is somebody who's going to come in every day and be really enthusiastic and passionate about the work.
So actually say I love my job. I do absolutely love my job. It's lovely. And I think as well, another massive positive for me is I just started out with my side hobbies of like upskilling from being a dancer to doing my stilts and fire. And that's going really well because I have more time. I have the gift of time, I call it. My life before, like when I was a lawyer, I'm running around, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5:30 is like blocked out of your schedule. So seeing friends, seeing family, doing hobbies, cleaning the house, doing life admin, everything else has to squeeze around your what's left, what's free and what's available. And now it's so lovely because now I'm properly trained and I'm getting gigs from it, and it's just that's also creating its own momentum, which is making me so happy, to be honest, as well, because that's another passion of mine which has been allowed to flourish because I've got the gift of time from being cabin crew.
Yeah, and so, you know, just from looking at your social media platform, you know, you've been kind of sharing with us the places that you've been able to explore the cities as well. You know, I wondered whether there were any friends or previous colleagues that had reached out to you and followed your lead even, but it'd be quite interesting to hear, you know, what the response has been.
That's a very good question. The answer is I've been absolutely overwhelmed with the response from people that have reached out to me, mentioning how they've listened to my podcast or the podcast in episode one about me talking about why I left the law, and they said it just resonated with them. And for me, it makes me feel like I've got a goal now, and I feel like I've got a purpose of kind of speaking my truth, and in the sense of, I suppose, just sharing my story and showing people that there's other options out there if you're not happy. And I think as well, the beauty of that is there's the wider principle at play is, if you're not happy in your job, it doesn't have to be this doesn't just apply to lawyers. You know, if you're not happy as a lawyer or a paralegal or anyone in law, you can move. It's wider than that. Is if you're not happy or fulfilled in your job, whatever that may be, and not being afraid to settle, really. And I think the people that have reached out to me, I've had one lady who said she really wants to do, she loves singing, but she doesn't know how to make it a career, and she doesn't know whether to go into that. And for me, I mean, I know absolutely nothing about singing. I'm absolutely awful at it. That's one thing I do know. But I just thought, you know what, it's lovely that she felt like she can reach out to me and I can try and give some advice what I would do if I was her in that situation. So I said to her, like, just kind of build it up on the side, have it as a really good distraction from work. And you never know, you can build it up enough to maybe go part time or, you know, even do it full time for a little bit. So I think for me, it's been lovely, the responses that I've had. And I generally feel like my story is helping people. It's helping people feel like they're not alone. They're not the only ones that have felt like they're not enjoying their job. And I think when somebody else comes along and perhaps pinpoints reasons in their story why they're leaving or have left, it provides them comfort for people that are in that situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think overall it's been lovely that people feel like they can reach out to me.
Yeah, and I think we're so used to just following what everyone else does, so we feel we have to stay in the job because even if we don't like it, because that's the thing that we do, and you know, that equals security in our mind. So when we talked about your reasons before for leaving, you said that the main reason is for wanting to change your lifestyle, but also that during your time as an NQ, I think it was still kind of during lockdown, so they were feeling the isolation whilst working during COVID as a newly qualified, and also struggles of trying to perform well whilst working from home. So I think we said, you know, that COVID, you know, was an instigator but also a disruptor to the new work-life pattern. Have you changed your mind about having taken such a fundamental break from your career as a lawyer? Do you think you'll ever get back into it one day?
Have I changed my mind? Absolutely not. It's the best decision I've ever made. And I think there is such a pride that comes with when you qualify as a lawyer. It's a lovely feeling. But for me, my most proudest moment was actually choosing a life that is my success, that I want. That to me is the most bravest decision I've ever made. And the pride that I derive from that decision is monumental, and it's lovely. I'm a great believer that everything happens for a reason. So I can go back. People say, oh, you know, I do think it's nice in life to have options. At this moment in time, I do think, why would I go back? I'm in a job where now I'm so happy, and it has so many different perks that I'll touch on later, but it's a case of I look at my old life now and I think, wow, I look at where I am now and I've chosen, I've allowed myself the chance to find this joy. And I came across this quote and it really resonated with me, and it was, whatever you don't change, you choose. I think that is so true, because a year and a half ago, I looked at my life and I thought, I'm miserable, I'm stressed, I'm not enjoying it. And it's the case of, okay, what are my options? And my options are to change and to do something that will give myself the opportunity of potentially finding joy, because nobody has a crystal ball. You don't know what lays ahead in the future, and you don't really know if you like something until you try it. All my options were, my other option was, okay, I'll just try and what I call go in the tolerate it zone. So the tolerate it zone is, okay, well, I'll just give it a few months, and you try to mentally make it okay in your own head. Okay, so hopefully in a few months' time, this would have happened, or that fire would have finished, or I would have had a holiday by then. And you're trying to basically mold something that is causing you so much stress and mentally making it so it's manageable. And I just look back now and I think, but that's a choice. I'm accepting that that's my lifestyle. Okay, there's always going to be this stress. And I think the beauty now is I look back and I think, I've chosen this life. I have chosen my new life. And it's a lovely feeling, because I know that if I'd stayed in the law, there wouldn't be a magic wand to make all the stress go away. I would still be exactly, where I was a year and a half ago, whenever it was. And it would just be a different stress with a different file. It would just be different issues. It would still be being absolutely mentally drained. And knowing that I've kind of stepped away from that is really liberating, to be honest. And the principle applies even with BA going forwards. I absolutely love my job now, but now that I've moved once from a career to becoming cabin crew, I'm absolutely at peace with myself of, okay, if I don't enjoy cabin crew after a year, 2 years, 10 years, whatever, I'll just change, because I've done it before. It's not so scary. I feel like I'm in the driving seat of my life now, and I've accepted that life is not a rigid, as you mentioned, like you go through the motions and you think, right, well, I just have to stay here because you think, oh God, I've done all this training. Now I see life as something that is so flexible, and your needs change, your wants change as you go through life. And it's natural and it's healthy to respond to that with your decisions. And for me, it was a case of, I don't have any children. I wanted to travel more. I wanted to feel like I was living my life and not just existing, not just waiting for Friday, not evening and the weekend. And now I've got a job that aligns with those values, which makes me feel, to be honest, that I am living true to myself, which is lovely, because I was listening to the Stephen Bartlett podcast, and he was chatting to, I can't remember what guest was on, but she said, it's very easy to say, oh, live true to yourself, go and live a life that's true to yourself. But she said, not many people do, because the realities are, you have expectations from society, you have expectations from your family, perhaps from your friends, you have a mortgage to pay, rent to pay, you have trained for a long time. It's all these, basically these psychological hurdles, I suppose, that an individual has that would mean that perhaps they don't live true to themselves. So, and I thought that's very true, because to actually say you're living life on your terms, but to actually do it are two separate things. So it's lovely now, and for me, because very refreshing to feel like I actually am, and there's a genuineness to that. And with that comes an internal peace, to be honest.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, you're right. You know, society creates these norms where you do things at a specific time in your life, and then you have one job and you have a house, and then, you know, you might get married and have kids, and then you retire and that's it. And if you do anything different, I think it takes a lot of courage. So you've taken that step even further to living, you know, as true as you can to the life that you want, or, you know, you've actually achieved that. And I haven't taken such a big step, but try to move away from this mold that everybody tries to create and says that you have to work in London in the city if you want to practice and create a career for yourselves. But I don't believe that that's necessarily true, because we can't all just be working for Clifford Chance and all those big city firms. So we talked a lot about the positives to your new job, and that you mentioned, like, that you're really happy and you've found the freedom and the flexibility that you want. So was there anything else that you kind of wanted to talk about in terms of, because I think you mentioned that salary wise that was a nice surprise, you know, that it was more than you thought. I think it's, you said before,
it's absolutely crazy, to be honest. My finances with regards to my salary. So I can confirm, ever since, so how it works, my pay now, you get a base salary, and the base salary is relatively low. And when I was thinking about leaving the law, I looked at the base salary and I thought, oh God, like, that's going to be a pay cut. And I spoke to my other half, who's been nothing but amazing and always been amazing throughout the whole process. And it was like, okay, it'll be worth it if I'm happy. But to my surprise, we do get allowances. So when we're downroute, and downroute basically means when you're away, when you're in Africa or America or wherever you are, you get allowances for food, you get your hotel is paid for, your obviously transport to and from the airport is paid for. So any of your expenses, which is food and drink, is, you get basically an allowance payment. And to my surprise, that's been a lot better than I've expected, to the point where, and these allowances are paid a month in arrears. So for example, the trips that I'm going on in January, those allowances will be paid in my February pay. So when I got a full month's worth of allowances, it was probably September. Yes, it was September. And I thought, oh my Jesus Christ, I've literally been paid more money doing this job, loving my life, having so much more time, so much more freedom, going doing what I love. And I've been paid more, and I've trained for this job for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That absolutely blows my mind, compared to training 6 years as a lawyer. Is it 6 years, 3 years, four? Yeah, 6 years.
Well, it could take longer. Yeah.
I just find that absolutely, to me, that kind of speaks volumes of perhaps, and I really want to break this perception that all lawyers are on so much money, because, and even now when I'm on the plane and people say, I say, I've been here 6 months. Oh, what did you do before? I'm actually a qualified lawyer. Oh, why you moved here then? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I wanted better work-life balance. I wanted to find joy. And I said, and I'll sum it up in one sentence, I get paid more doing this job. And they go, what? Really? I said, yeah. And I said, for me as well, I didn't move as to be cabin crew for money, but the fact that for me, however much you get paid, it kind of ties in with, I suppose, there's an element of respect from an employee to an employer, because an employer, however much they pay their employee, that is them saying, this is how much we think your time is worth, and your energy and your effort. And for me, the fact that I, as I mentioned, I've trained for 6 weeks with BA cabin crew, the fact that I'm walking away with more money in my paycheck is for me the most crazy, nice, isn't it? Very nice and crazy thing, but it's perhaps indicative of law firms, particularly regional law firms, that do they not value my time and my effort as much as BA cabin crew?
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you know, you're a qualified professional as a lawyer, and I think perhaps, and I think as well, perhaps there are issues with the structure of a law firm. I do think a lot of the money is held at the top, and I do think naturally when you've practiced law for 30 years and you're a partner, I think of course you are entitled to the profits and et cetera. But my issue lays with when I looked around and I saw how much money secretaries were on, and you get wind of how much they're on, and I think we would all fall apart without you. And you are paid a very low salary for the stress that you have and for how much you're expected to work. And for me, I just find it really hard to swallow, because they deserve, in my opinion, they deserve more. They really do. And when particularly this cost of living crisis, they're really struggling, you know, people are struggling. And I just think it's not fair. I just really think it's not fair. And people say to me, okay, well, you know, if you stayed in the law, you would have had progression with your salary, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I can confirm, since signing my contract with BA and what as a base pay and what I'm on now, my money has gone up more than what my salary went up from being an NQ to 1 year PQE. So for me, how I'm looking at it, there's more progression in cabin crew because my money's gone up a lot more of a sharper incline compared to what it would have done or what it did do as a lawyer.
I wonder whether, because there's been a lot of talk about getting people back into the office and going back to the way things were before, and there's resistance to that. People don't want that anymore. They want to keep their flexibility. I wonder, and it's, you know, down to your opinion, whether you think there's going to be a move away from these huge companies and huge law firms where you're just like one out of 1,000 employees maybe, to more kind of smaller companies run by not as many shareholders and not part of such a big group of companies, where they actually value their employees than, you know, these bigger sort of organizations. I wonder whether you think that's happening at the moment, because there's all this talk about staff shortages, but there's still the same problems of, well, from my experience, toxic workplaces and being undervalued and not understanding the need to be flexible with your staff if you want to retain them. I just wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. And I think as well, with the fact of being undervalued, the biggest shock that I found is, I remember hearing a story about, it was the case of somebody was chatting to their supervisor about their holiday.
Yeah.
And their supervisor turned around and said, you do realise if you go on holiday, like have a city break over the weekend, you can't work from home on the Monday. And I thought, what message is that telling that employee that they're not trusted to work from home, and they have to come in because the expectation is that they're not going to do any work from home? And I think it's such an, and this was said in the middle of the office, and it's just the norm. It's just what's accepted.
Yeah.
And for me, what's been really crazy is I feel like I've got so much more autonomy in my job as cabin crew, in the sense that when you're down route, you do whatever you want. You don't even have to stay at the hotel. You can go see friends. You can go. I got an internal flight in Joburg to go see my best friend who lives about 40 minute internal flight. But it's completely, there's you're treated as an adult.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's your free time to do with what you want. Yeah.
And also, if you are back for pickup, then you do whatever you want down route. But sorry, carry on, Natalie.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, it's quite humiliating as well to, have your boss say that to you in the middle of the office about not being able to work from home on the Monday. I mean, is this high school? What is this? Your workplace?
It's
bizarre.
What I've learned, it's so hard to change a culture of a firm. That was said in the middle of an office. Yeah. Nobody gave it a second thought, because that's what is normal. That's what is just the done thing. And I just think, wow, like, it's that mind, what's the word? It's that everybody just accepts it because it is the norm.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. So we talked a lot about the positives of moving away, but are there any downsides to your new career path?
Ooh, the jet lag.
Okay, that's a good point.
Like going on holiday for 2 weeks and then coming back and being like, oh, I've got my body still thinks I'm in India right now, probably. I came back, was it yesterday? I don't know what day it is. I only know it's a Saturday because Sam, I have a half time, and I'm like, oh, it's a Saturday today. But the jet lag, but to be honest, it's very strange because the tiredness, you do a lot of night flights. Tiredness for me is very different tiredness to working in an office. And for me, it's a lot more manageable. I have the gift of being able to sleep wherever, whenever. So when we have breaks on the plane, I can sleep on the plane. When you're down routes, if you want to sleep, you can. I'm always too excited. I want to, you know, make use of being in that destination. But for me, I was more tired working in an office. And I tell you why, because if you've got, and it goes back to me saying about Monday to Friday, 9 to 5:30, that's out of your schedule. You've then got to get home, sort yourself dinner. You've got to, oh, if you want to try get a gym workout in, you've got to do this. You've got to see friends at the weekend. You've got to do your housework. So if you've had a busy weekend, that's essentially 12 days.
Yeah.
12 days of just being on the go. Whereas now, yes, I'm absolutely shattered in a night flight, but it's a mental process of, Kat, you've just done a Miami. You're going to have 3 clear days off at home. And that is, you can sleep all throughout those 3 days. You don't have to wake up. Like, you can do whatever you want. And for me, that is so lovely because it's so much more manageable. Also as well, what is nice is when you clear, when you finish a duty. So say, for example, the plane lands at 7 a.m., from Miami to London, by the time I clear, I think it's 40 minutes after the plane lands. So basically we just wait for everyone to get off and we do our last final checks of the plane and then we get off. So if I'm clearing at 7:40, I'm probably back home by 10 a.m. I've got a couple of hours of commute. And that counts as a working day, even though I'm back home by 10 a.m. So that's really lovely because you feel like you've got more time at home as well.
So just kind of moving on then to your side hustle. So you talked about modelling on the catwalk.
Well, I did actually, in terms of my modelling, I was actually shooting yesterday with an MUA, a makeup artist who I regularly work with.
Yeah.
And that was lovely to, and again, it's the gift of time. Before, when I shot with her last time, it was about a year ago, and I was still in the office, and I remember being like, well, you have to come round from 5:30 onwards because it was all like, you know, rush. And so for me, it was a dream to have. We were shooting for 6.5 hours. And so, yeah, I'm doing just, I mean, that's just for fun for me. I absolutely love that, just creating new content. I think my focus is on the stilts and the fire, because that, to be honest, is the one that I can monetize the most. I still love my aerial. I still do silk and hoop. But in terms of my modeling, I kind of feel a little bit like I don't know where else to go with it because I've done all 4 catwalks. So if opportunities come up, that's great. But I always have goals and I feel like I've ticked those goals off. And I hate feeling lost and not having goals, because now I'm like, well, where do I go with my modelling? I don't know what to do. So I've still got my eyes open for opportunities. I'd love to do LA Fashion Week. I'd love to do Dubai Fashion Week. But the main 4, Milan, Paris, London and New York, I have done. So I think naturally my focus is turning on to monetizing the stilts and the fire and the dance. At least for a couple of years.
I've seen some of your posts where you've been on gigs fire breathing, and it looks really impressive because you've, like, so how do you actually do it? Are you in are you putting something in your mouth and then just kind of spitting it out onto the fire? How does it work?
So with regards to the fire breathing, so yeah. I do fire eating, so but I haven't got onto the fire breathing. I don't know if I will because of the safety issues around it, because basically fire eating is you have a fire sticks or palms, they're called, and it's like a fire wick, and the wick is probably the size of like a large marshmallow. So that you put paraffin on and then you set them alight, and then to put the flame out, it's all about the cutting off the oxygen. So the technique to basically how you put it in your mouth and cutting off that oxygen supply so quickly, learning about the flame and where the hottest point is and how flames always go up. So you will never see anybody eating fire without their head being completely back and their nose being the highest point, because the flame's always going to go up. With regards to the breathing, I don't quite have the confidence to try that yet. I think it's an amazing trick, but basically you hold the paraffin in your mouth and you hold the flame in front of you and you learn to spray the paraffin, and it creates this massive effect of a massive flame. It looks so cool, it looks amazing, but for me, and maybe I know me, give me a year and I'll be doing it that as well, but for me at the moment it's like, okay, I'll just learn the fire eating and they're called like body burns and all the tricks without the fire breathing to start with. And also it's scary to have paraffin in your mouth. Knowing me, I'm live and swallow it, and I'll be like, oh dear.
I was just about to say that would definitely happen to me, so I'd never be able to do it. But you know, it looks quite dangerous. I mean, I'm not even sure if you're covered in insurance if you take
I've got my insurance with that. It's insurance. You have to get best insurance, because not many normal people like start planning on fire. I mean, there's that phrase, playing with fire, isn't there? And that's literally what I do. But yeah, it was on New Year's Eve, I had a bit of a realisation moment, because I had two gigs in the diary. And what's lovely with New Year's Eve as well, it's always double bubble, so that's always lovely. And so I was so excited because I thought, oh, great, like it'll be great to get two gigs. And Sam actually goes to me, he was on my behalf, he was like, oh, can you drive? I come with you. So I'm on my own for New Year's. I was like, oh, bless you. I was like, of course you can. You can be my driver. And it was so nice because he managed to get a lot of content of me, like, on stage. And the second gig I went to was a place called Troxy in London, and I just had this realization moment of I saw the New Year's Inn basically dancing to, I think it was about 3,000 people. I was on stage and I just thought, oh my god, like, this is my home, this is where my heart is, and this is my passion, and I'm getting paid to do what I love. And I just felt like, this is really cool, like, this is everything that I could have dreamed of a couple of years ago. And it's funny because I think before I went into the law, I remember being like, I'd love to be a dancer. I remember my mum saying, do your law degree and give yourself options. So I went and did my law degree and then just kind of like, oh, okay, I'll, you know, do my LPC and this and that. And don't get me wrong, when I was in my law study, I was completely and utterly focused on it. Again, I think for me, it comes back to having that goal. I remember my LPC, I just didn't have a day off, and I had to get a distinction in every single exam, because I just told myself that's what I had to do, and I did. And so I was very focused when I was in it. But it's funny how things work out, how they're meant to, and things come back round. Because now I feel like, even though I'm not a professionally trained dancer in the sense that I've gone down the legal route, the fact that I'm back to performing and dancing and getting paid to do what I love, I feel like it's my inner 18-year-old. And even when I was, I remember at primary school, I was looking back over my leavers book the other day, and it said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, I want to be a backing dancer. And there's something in me that's got a connection with it, you know. And it's amazing that I'm in a job that allows me to have that connection and do it on my terms. But also there's a beauty of it that I don't rely on it as well financially, because dance is a very hard industry. The reality is you're away for cruise ships, you're away for 10 months. And I'm in this, I suppose, stage of life where I do have a house. I do. It wouldn't be fair for me to leave Sam for that length of time. But for me, going away for a couple of days, coming back and doing that and being able to bring Sam on trips with me. I mean, he's had three incredible trips with me already. I'm taking him for his 30th. I've got a 5-day Singapore, so I'm taking him for that. So I feel like I'm able to, it's able to be our journey, so to speak. And it's not just about me going off and, you know, partying and having fun or, you know, seeing temples. It's something that I can bring, involve him in as well. And he absolutely loves it. He knows he has top priority on my, it's called my Klingon list, because you can have three people on your list that you can bring away. You can change them every 3 months. He knows you've got top priority. But yeah, I had this realization, as I say, on that New Year's Eve gig. And it's just lovely to, I'm very grateful for my job now, because it enables me to do, to follow my other passions, which is also, it's just a whole nother dimension why I love my current job, you know.
I guess then just my last question is, what's next for you?
Oh, you know what, Natalie, I think I'm, as I mentioned, I'm very goal-driven, but I thought, and I always write my goals down at the first, you know, in the new year. But for me, there's such a, I've noticed a shift, because I didn't find this need to write down all my goals. My goals were just to actually continue enjoying flying. I wrote, continue to love flying, see the world. And I think that's a sign. It's a sign that I'm there, is where I want to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, I suppose with my goals of my side hustles, that's slightly different, I suppose, because I've started in a, doing them in a professional environment, so to speak. So there's a lot more scope to I'd love to do that. Like, for example, I'd love to get a contract abroad this year. Obviously, I'm limited with my flying, but you can get ones for private corporate events and weddings, and that you get flown out, and so they can only be like a week or a couple of days. That for me would be amazing. From a modelling point of view, I've absolutely zero idea how I'm going to do it, but I walk past the posters in the underground on the tube and I think, I want my face to be up there.
Yeah.
No idea how, but I want my face to be up there. So well, I'm trying to figure that one out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I remember if someone said to me when I started modelling, oh, you'd be walking in London, I'd have been, oh my God, that's so cool. Wow. Like, future me is like, that's awesome. And then if someone said, oh, you've also done Milan, Paris, and New York, I'd have been like, whoa, that's really cool. So I think now you kind of build, as you tick like your goals off, it's lovely to feel that you look at up future goals and think, why can't I do that? Why? Yeah. And it's a confidence, suppose, and it comes down to confidence in all areas of your life. Like, as I say with BA, if I'm not enjoying it in a year's time or whenever, but like, okay, well, that served me an amazing purpose for that time in my life, I'll look at something else. And everything's a lot more there's no emotion involved as much. I think it's very easy to, when you're making big decisions, to get ruled by emotion, whereas now I feel a lot more, I'm just at peace with everything. I'm at peace with, you know, people say, oh, do you regret doing the law or this or that? No, absolutely not. Everything happens how it's meant to. And this was meant to be my story. I'm meant to be where I am right now. And I was meant to go through what I went through in the law. And I was meant to not enjoy it, because that pushed me into finding something that I love. Whereas if I stayed in what I call the tolerated zone, I never would have made the jump, because I would have mentally been, oh, well, it's okay. And I get a nice holiday, which is lovely. But I want more from life, and I've got more now. And that's a lovely place to be. And it's nice to have what you love, not being on rations. I was living for my 25 days holiday every year. Whereas now it's nice to feel like, oh, I'm, you know, really tired from, you know, my trip to New York. Oh God, I need to start planning because I'm going LA with my best mate. Or it's always fun and it's always something to look forward to. And that's a very different mental space to be in, which is nice. So in terms of what's next, there's a joy in just saying, I'm just going to carry on loving it. I feel like I'm here now. I'm exactly where I want to be, where I hope to be, where I wished I would be with my whole heart, like a year ago, a year and a half ago. So I'm just going to be present, be in the moment, and enjoy my life.
I like that. That's a really good way to end it, I think. Some good some good tips for other people listening as well. But thank you so much for coming in today. It's been so good to catch up with you and find out how things have been, you know, how it's been going. And yeah, it's been a really interesting conversation. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks again for joining me. We will leave Kat's details in this episode's description. And don't forget to leave a rating and a review if you enjoyed this episode.